Welcome, everybody, to the Not Just New Movies podcast, the show where we usually review a seemingly random film currently not in theaters. You're probably noticing my voice is a little smokier than usual. That's been it's because I've been talking all day, and so you get to reap the benefits of this vermouth-sounding vocal cords that I have tonight. And we're going to be talking about today a horrific film, I would say, straight off the bat, Street Fighter, Legend of Chun-Li, made way back in the day, 2009, starring Kristen Kirk, some other people. So there's that. We'll get to that in a little bit. If you just joined us for the first time, though, we start every episode with the character name game, transition into our media consume section where we talk about what we've been watching, move into our review of the week, Street Fighter, Legend of Chun-Li, and then, of course, finish, with listener voicemails and emails. You can always leave us a voicemail at 904-469-NJNM or email us at notjustnewmovies@gmail.com. And you can find this and every other episode of this podcast, including Sundance 2012 coverage at notjustnewmovies.com. Now today, we've got the bringer of pain, the welcomer of fellas, my personal friend, confidant, I trust this guy with everything, Panther Joe Leninger from the plainfieldblog.com. How you doing, Panther?
Get over here!
Oh, I would like that reference. Yeah.
Is that the wrong game?
It's a little outdated, and it's the wrong game.
Okay.
I don't even think the current Mortal Kombat games do the it's over, or get over here, do they? Scorpion still do that?
Yeah, Scorpion, as of the one that came out for Xbox 360, and I want to say pretty much all the platforms, yeah, he still gets over there.
Right, I like it. I don't think Goruz is featured in the newer games as the rest of the characters. I think he was a one-hit wonder.
Okay. Yeah, I'm the only guest on the show, unfortunately. We couldn't get Kristen Crook on.
Yeah, we were going to get Kristen Crook on. She, for some reason, won't return my calls. I don't know who I was calling, but I assumed it was Kristen Crook.
I sent her a bunch of Applebee's vouchers for free food. I don't know what happened.
I got the number from you, Joe, and I thought it was completely legit, but who knows?
Well, did she answer hello?
I also promised something along the lines of ex-commissioner of Destageddon, Greg Hoth, but unfortunately he can't make it. But shout out to him. Hopefully we can have you on soon, buddy. To talk about another hopefully crappy video game fighter movie. Maybe if they make like a Dead or Alive volleyball edition game or something like along those lines.
Oh, they did make a Dead or Alive movie.
Did they?
Yeah, it had Devin Aoki and Jamie Presley in it.
All right, we'll have you on for that one then, Greg.
Can't believe you didn't know about that, Tyler.
All right, well, Joe, I'm sure you're wondering, and I'm sure our audience is wondering, where the hell is Ben? I mean, your esteemed leader, Ben Pearson, who founded this podcast and has brought you nothing but quality material for the last, I'm going to say, 6-7 years, not just including the life of the podcast, but also the life of his website, notjustnewmovies.com. Have you ever wondered what happened to him? Is he gone forever, Joe?
Well, no, he probably just got stuck up in the mountains.
You don't have to answer that, actually, Joe, because I'm going to call him right now.
We'll see if he's still alive.
Let me just get the rotary going here. All right.
If he wasn't back by this week, we assumed he was, kidnapped or raped or both.
Kidnapped or raped or both?
Yes.
Hello?
Ding, 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 ding.
Whoa, Ben?
Yes.
You're live on the Not Just New Movies podcast. As live as we'll ever get.
Hello there, Ben.
Can you guys hear me?
No, we can't. Can you hear us? You're live on the Not Just New Movies podcast. What do you have to say? How you doing?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. All right. What's going on? What are you guys talking about?
Can you hear Joe?
Joe, say Ben? Something. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Ben P?
Where are you?
All right, what are you calling about today, Ben P? What do you think, the Giants?
Why did you interrupt our live broadcast here?
You guys called me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Ben P, you think the Giants front four can get to Tom Brady next week? That's the question we want to know.
I talked to Ben today. He has no idea who's in the Super Bowl. Ben, did you have you had a chance to Google that since?
Why'd he call our sports show?
It's Patriots Giants. I know that now.
There we go. I wanted you to redeem yourself.
Yeah,
I was telling the listeners, you know, what is Ben gone forever? Like, what's the deal, Ben? Where have you been? And keep it short.
Yeah, I'll keep it short. I've been at the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah for the past 10 days. I saw 27 movies there, and
Jesus.
I'm in the middle of...
Jesus.
I know. In the middle of right this second writing my top 10 of the festival for GeekTyrant.com. So all of my coverage is there, and I've also this year decided to copy and paste all my reviews and post them at notjustnewmovies.com just to have them as like an archive thing in case, you know, servers crash or whatever. So
yeah.
If you guys want to check out all those reviews, then feel free to do that. There's video and all kinds of stuff in there.
Thanks for creating a post to launch over our last episode, Hard Target, episode 74. I'm going to assume it's unreachable at this point.
Ben, is that something Geek Tyrant allows you to do? You can just copy and paste onto your website?
Yeah, they're fine, because my website's not monetized. So
that was my second question. Do you get double the pay because of it?
What? I don't understand.
Like if Geek Tyrant pays you, and then you pay yourself, that's really double pay. Because you're self-employed with NotJustNewMovies.com.
Right.
Yeah, you're like one of those rappers that owns his own music label.
Oh, man. Well, yeah,
vodka where you just drink your own... You're drinking your own profits if you drink your own vodka or alcoholic beverage, as some rappers are prone to do.
Right. Yeah, I think both Jay-Z and Puff Daddy, or Diddy, as he's known these days, I believe have their own vodka.
I think he's known as Dirty Money at this point.
Oh yeah, that's right. Diddy Dirty Money. I think that's a thing.
That's his group. He's still Puff Daddy or P. Diddy, whichever one you want to call him.
I've just been calling him Dirty Money. Because he owes me a lot of dirty money.
Right. So I've got to admit to you guys, while I was gone, I only had a chance to listen to the first half of the Hard Target episode.
That's a shame, because it really picks up for that second half.
He means gets way off the rails.
Woo-woo!
I got to the point where you guys started talking about Hard Target, the Van Damme movie, and then I had to... It was like
Fuck
2 in the morning, I was done writing reviews, and I couldn't do it. So I'll definitely catch up, but I liked what I was hearing before. So hopefully this episode that people are listening to right now is just as good as episode 74. So check that out.
Yeah, all of our guests bailed on us tonight, Ben.
We had
How
so
many
many
did
guests.
You guys have?
We had like 17 guests lined up. At the
we had
time.
We had Kristen Crook and Greg Hoth lined up.
We had two fake generals and the real general.
Why are you bringing the general into the podcast?
No, not just the general, but two fake generals. We were going to have Tom Brady, Tom Brady's girlfriend, the other guy in Terriers, not Donald Logue, the other guy, who I have no idea who that is.
His name is Michael Raymond James. But
Kristen Crook's stunt double, not from Street Fighter, but from Smallville, to have them talk about Street Fighter. It was going to be a cornucopia of information.
That sounds pretty entertaining, actually. It's unfortunate you guys couldn't pull that together.
Kristen Crook even do any stunts in Smallville? Because I can tell that she'd never done a stunt before in her life.
Yeah, you know, she got sucked up in a tornado at one point in a season finale. You know, crazy stuff like that.
Sounds sexy.
It was a sexual tornado, Ben? Is that...
Ben P.
No. Yes.
Smallville. Okay, I was doing some research on Kristen Crook this week, and I found some videos of her mashed up with a girl named Erica Durance. Was she also in Smallville?
Yes, Erica Durance played Lois Lane in Smallville.
Okay, and I think the big question on the comment boards was like, Erica Durance or Kristen Crook? Where do you fall on that? In that battle right there?
As far as just like purely physical, is that what we're talking about here?
Then Ben's gonna pick Ma Kent. No doubt.
Yeah, let's go physical beauty on a platform. No acting ability, no character.
No personality.
Throw Ma Kent in there, please. Throw Ma Kent in there.
Ma Kent. Do you mean what's her name?
No, the really old one from the Richard Donner movie.
Okay. Oh, man.
So Durant's crook and then old lady Ma Kent.
This is like that scene from Billy Madison where they're like, who would you rather bone, Meg Ryan or Jack Nicholson? And then the guy's like, Nicholson in 74 or Nicholson now? And he's like, Nicholson now. And then he's like, Meg Ryan. Joe, to answer your question, I think... okay, let me throw one more qualifier in here. Let me throw one more qualifier in. Are we talking about...
Let me throw one more qualifier. Pick the beauty and then pick which one you think can get to Tom Brady first in the Super Bowl.
Okay, I can do that. Erica Durant, hands down, could get to Tom Brady first.
Okay.
Wait, like...
But are we talking... Like, what kind of year are we talking, Joe? Are we talking, like, when Smallville first came out? Or are we talking, like, current modern day?
I mean, like, in the heyday of Smallville. Like, when people were watching the shows and they were probably doing that team, you know, team Kristen Crook, team other chick.
Yeah, like season 7 or 8, maybe? The right locale,
Joe, I'm going to go with Kristen Crook.
All right. I'll mark you down for cool.
She can pull Ben's rickshaw any day. Racist.
You know, I'm getting a lot of on Justified too. Team Winona versus Team Ava, and I think that's a clear runaway. I don't know how you guys feel about that one.
Team Ava.
Oh,
Joe, I know, Joe, I know you well enough. Well, wait a second. Maybe I don't. Are you saying Winona, Joe? Is that what you're?
I'm going Winona on this one.
If I could throw in another candidate, it would be the redhead that ran the company, the Mountain Coal Company, that came in season 2. And then left for some reason because freaking Raylan was all up on that.
I think one of the Bennett brothers killed her. They just it was
I don't
just
think she
scene.
Died. I don't think she died. I think she went to like Western Kentucky as opposed to Harlan.
She died.
Yeah. She definitely did die. But
what? I don't think so. She.
No. She did not die.
She did not die. Yes.
Yeah. Is this what you guys have been doing for the entire podcast? You guys even talk about a movie today or what?
Yeah, I guess we need to get going.
Okay. Yeah, we haven't even started.
Yeah,
we'll
let you go. We got the media consume section coming up. This is a live episode. I hope our listeners are still around.
Dear God.
So this is not going to be edited, Ben, so we will talk to you next week. Ben, do you know what movie we're watching next week, or do you want me to just announce it via the...
Yeah, I actually...
You know, Joe brought a new computer for us, right? He brought, like, a whole new system update.
Okay. So are we no longer using the Apple II?
No, we're bringing it.
No, it's just a one-off thing. Because we were getting emails that people were saying that it wasn't really random, and you guys were just picking them out of the blue sky.
Yeah, but Joe's computer's bogus, and we're going back to the Apple II.
So I had my engineering friends design one that was truly, truly random.
Okay.
My balls are truly random.
That's how we got to Street Fighter The Legend of Chun-Li, which was pretty much Kristen Crook the music video.
Okay, well, I'm going to bid you guys farewell, and hopefully you guys have some fun. I've got some Sundance stuff to finish up, and I'll be back hosting again next week. So, listeners, I hope you guys are buckled in for a night of enjoyment, because these two are quite the characters. But I also want to give a quick shout-out to myself, because that's what I do.
Like a modern-day Dolph Ziggler.
Tyler, I'm learning from you, man. That's what
happens.
But
I like that.
I want to give a shout-out to an interview that I did with Joe Carnahan, Liam Neeson, and the rest of the cast of The Gray, the Liam Neeson wolf-punching movie that's out in theaters right now.
Wolf-punching?
That's how it's described by critics.
Yeah, you can find that interview at thefilmstage.com. This is my first feature for them. So go to Google, just type in The Film Stage Liam Neeson interview. You'll find it right there. So I want to give a shout out to that. And then, of course, check out geektyrant.com for all of our Sundance coverage and notjustnewmovies.com for, you know, everything else. So thanks for bringing me in there, guys. I appreciate it.
You're wasting my minutes, dude.
Thanks for making it back to LA in one piece, Ben.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm sitting.
Wait, is that where you live? Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah, I'm all right. So
Hollywood and Vine.
All right. Well, you guys enjoy recording, and I'll catch y'all later on.
Later.
Get over here.
I hung up on him. All right. Well, yeah, that was Ben. So take that as you will. I'm not going to edit that at all. Actually, I was going to think about making that an After Midnight, but no, F that.
The only way I take Ben is Raw Dog.
Raw Dog.
Unedited.
All right, let's move into the media consume section. Joe, you got a couple things to offer up today. What have you been watching lately?
Wait. We doing a character name game or what?
Let's do the character name game. Thank you for reminding me. Character name game, I give you a name of a character, and you, our guest, Joe, along with the audience, has to name the movie that this character is from. Of course, there's always a loose connection to a movie that has been released this last weekend. So I have the character for you. Joe, the character name game for this week is Finis Valorum.
Finis?
Finis Valorum. That's one N in Finis. Finis Valorum. All right. So we'll come back to that at the end of the episode. Please make sure to remind me in case I forget again. And you have to guess the name of the movie that character is from. Now that we've got that out of the way, media consume section, what have you been watching, Joe?
I just want to talk about a couple new shows I've been watching. I was kind of want to go off the beaten path that you guys usually talk about.
That's what we do here on this episode.
A couple selections that probably you or Ben or a lot of the listeners don't even know about. The first is called, it's a show on Animal Planet, and it is titled My Cat from Hell. Tyler, have you heard about this show? Have you seen this show?
My Cat from Hell?
My Cat from Hell.
No, I can't say that I have.
It is damn near a masterpiece. It is hosted by this guy. I think this is his real name. I haven't done any research on him, but he goes by Jackson Galaxy.
Okay.
And he is the Guy Fieri of the Animal Planet cat world, I guess. He's like some sort of heavy metal rocker, but like that's his night gig, and then his day gig is...
Right.
He's kind of like the cat whisperer.
I'd eat that off a litter box.
Yeah, exactly. He goes to people's houses and, you know, basically teaches the people how to take care of their cats. And it's pretty brilliant TV. These people who don't know how to take care of a cat send in videos, or I think that's what they do to this guy. And then they play him on air, and it's always the cat, like, attacking the people, so... I mean, you could tell the production team got there and was like, alright, just piss that cat off real good, and let's get some good stuff for the camera. And then, at least the one episode I saw, Jackson Galaxy, this big... Okay, first, you should definitely post a picture of this guy on the post, but he's bald, he's got earrings, full-sleeve tattoos, he's kind of a big guy.
What's his first name?
Jackson Galaxy.
Darn.
And he's got this facial hair where he's got like the sideburns, but then there's separation, and then there's a whole other chin beard area,
okay.
And then his chin beard has an extension, so his chin beard has a chin beard. It's kind of shaved real close to his face, all around his chin, and then the point of his chin,
okay.
He kind of creates like another chin beard. It's really bizarre looking.
It's a chin beard beard.
Yeah, it's a chin beard within a chin beard, almost.
Right.
And this guy, he basically tells these people the most simplistic things about how to fix your cat that's, you know, giving you hell.
Right.
And you're just like, oh, man. But the consolation is that the whole time he's pretty much only concerned with the cat.
Right.
Like, at least the two couples that I saw both were at odds with each other. Like, the relationship between the two people was going to end if this problem wasn't fixed. And he was just like, Jackson Galaxy was just talking about, he's like, you know, I'm just really concerned for Mr. Fluff here. I just want to make sure he's getting the things he needs. And basically he just brings in a bunch of scratching posts and, you know, tell him, hey, he's got arthritis. Stop hitting him in his back.
Yeah.
And then
see how his bones are brittle. Yeah. Quit throwing him against a wall.
And then sometimes they're happy, sometimes they're not, then sometimes they piss all over the place. It's pretty good television, I think.
Wow, riveting.
If you like cats, I think if you don't like cats, you'd probably be not interested in it at all.
And this show's called what?
My Cat from Hell. on Animal Planet. I think it's one of those shows they replay a lot, but if you're interested, I think new episodes come on Saturday night at 8 or 9 p.m.
So it's like they'll just play like 18 episodes of Storage Wars. That's kind of like Animal Planet's Storage Wars or Pawn Stars.
And you know, they'll have it on throughout the week. You know,
like, what I'm basically getting at are there storage units for sale in My Cat from Hell?
No, but they could definitely have a spinoff.
Okay, like My Cat from Texas. My Texas Cat from Hell.
Or my
Cajun Cat
my
from
storage
Hell.
Unit from Hell.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. Nice. What else have you been checking out?
All right. As you said, you just mentioned it, I'm a pretty big Pawn Stars fan. I think it's the number one source for kids these days to intake their history.
You know what? I'm going to agree with that. Not public schools, Pawn Stars.
Yes, history books just aren't doing it anymore. You got to watch
outdated.
Pawn Stars.
Yeah, they're outdated. Pawn Stars is up to date.
So recently, they had their first spinoff, which I kind of laughed at when it came out because it was called Cajun Pawn Stars.
Mm-hmm.
But after watching, I'd say, like, the first six episodes, it's kind of grown on me. It basically takes place in Louisiana and is kind of confined to there. The rules are...
Accent.
Say what?
You gotta get that Cajun accent where they come in and they're like, hey, I got them skulls here and I want to trade it in for $500.
Yeah, they definitely get to a lot of weird stuff, but it's more gun-oriented too, because you can, in the state of Louisiana, you can, you know, pawn and sell guns openly, like, where in Nevada, where Pawn Stars takes place,
right.
If it's made before, I think, 1895, you can't sell it to a pawn shop.
Right.
So people are just bringing in machine guns and all sorts of other crap.
Oh, my God.
As well as, like, livestock, old cars.
They pawn livestock?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, the guy, I think it was the pilot episode, he came in and he had, I want to say, like, 30 goats. And was like, I need some extra money, man. You got the grazing fields. And they came up with, like, a number after they factored in feed and, like, plots. Plot sizes and stuff.
Right. I got this horse, man. It got no one leg. It's got three legs. Make some good glue. Got some good glue.
The only downside is, though, there's not as many dynamic characters. I mean, there's probably the one main guy, and then everyone else is kind of vanilla.
Right.
But, I mean, if you really like Pawn Stars, you're going to like this, too.
Have you seen the hottie that they've hired on for Pawn Stars The Night Shift?
Is she the one with the tattoos?
Yeah, the one hanging out with Chumley.
Yeah, she's pretty. She's a pretty girl.
Yeah, that's the second spinoff where, and I just learned this week, during the night shift, they only do business at the window.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a whole show just not just walking into the store and dealing with the negotiations, but it's going to be via window.
Yeah, that's why I think Chumley always falls asleep.
Yeah, it's going to be like camera inside, camera outside, just kind of back and forth kind of thing.
And for all the haters out there that say there's no historical programming on the History Channel anymore, you learn a hell of a lot. That's for real, guys.
Well, there is the programming that South Park made fun of where it's just like, did aliens come down and create the pyramid? I mean, there's that bogus stuff. And then and then there's Pawn Stars. I mean, I'll give it, was Swamp People on History Channel? Like, that's just garbage to me. Like, I really don't care.
I believe so. Because there's Swamp People, Swamp Wars, Swamp Men.
Yeah.
And then there was another one, too.
Well, there was another spinoff of Pawn Stars, too. The guy that used to redo their cars became American Restoration, the guy.
Oh, yeah, I don't watch that stuff.
But I don't know if that's as historical as, like, Pawn Stars, like you said, I think, on the blogosphere somewhere, like, they actually give you little historical trivia things that are really interesting, and like you said as well, like, they know their stuff, or at least they're told that stuff. They're not just saying, I don't know what the hell this is, and then just buy it. Like, they always go into the historical significance of every item.
Yeah, so check your local listings. I want to say the regular time for this one, even though there weren't any new episodes last week, Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, Cajun Pawn Stars on History. Check it out. It's I think most listeners will like it if they like Pawn Stars.
Nice. And then the last thing, Joe, was something that I wanted to bring up too. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the Royal Rumble 92?
Yeah, the Royal Rumble 2012 was last night.
Last night.
Won by the Irishman, Sheamus.
Joe and I live blogged via phone, which I don't think is possible, but yeah.
Yeah, our page views weren't high, but
no, they were.
Yeah, we decided to both check out the Royal Rumble that took place 20 years ago.
Yeah.
This week, and it was the Royal Rumble has definitely changed a lot. As if you guys aren't familiar, the Royal Rumble is a pro wrestling event where 30 wrestlers are invited to the ring
30.
One by one. You know, you start off with two, and then basically you're trying to throw people over the top rope. And once they're over the top rope, they're eliminated. And every 2 minutes or 90 seconds, another guy will come out until all 30 guys have come out. And the last guy standing, the only one who hasn't been thrown over the top rope, is the winner. And last night, Sheamus beat them all. And, yeah, so he's going to be going on to WrestleMania. If you win it, you go to WrestleMania and you get the headline or fight for a title.
Yeah, but the stipulation in 92 was if you won the Royal Rumble, you became champion, which I think was a little more exciting.
That was more of like a story.
Okay.
What had happened is both two guys had claimed to the belt, so they were just like, all right, we're vacating it, and the winner, the winner of these 30 men gets it, and it. I mean, wrestling fans or people who don't even like wrestling or maybe have heard about it, this is something you would want to watch to maybe get your foot in the door.
Yeah, we watched it on YouTube, and it's available in its entirety on YouTube. So just type in Royal Rumble 92. One of our favorite wrestlers is involved, Ric Flair. So
woo. And Macho Man and...
Yeah, everyone's in this one.
Hulk was in it too, right?
Yeah, he came out. He was like number 27 or something. He was really...
Yeah, I mean, a lot of big guys you've probably heard of, even if you're not a wrestling fan. If you have fans that are wrestling fans and they want to watch something, throw in a Royal Rumble because these things are great. And it was definitely a different time, though. There was more theatrics about it and more latent racism, too, I found.
Oh, yeah, the one black guy that was in the Royal Rumble, I believe, he was the only one.
Yeah, Virgil.
The announcers really tore into him because they assumed that he was, the whole time while everyone else was wrestling, he was going through their lockers and stealing stuff, so, yeah.
And the one Mexican guy in the Royal Rumble, too, the announcer referred to him twice as the Flying Jalapeno. He wore green trunks. The Flying Jalapeno and, like, the big bowl of guacamole or something. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it's a pretty classic one. It's only like an hour or so. So if you're, I don't know, if you just want to see what the hell we're talking about.
Ric Flair, Macho Man, Hulk Hogan, all those good guys. A lot of good villains they would fight. It's kind of, you know, comic book villains, actually. Guys that have jobs and, you know, try and take down the good guys.
Yeah, people go apeshit nowadays for comic book movies. Well, people were going apeshit back in the day for this stuff, so.
Yep.
I'm not ashamed. So yeah, check that out, YouTube. What I've also been watching is actually Street Fighter related, so I was like, okay, well, I might as well get all the Street Fighter stuff in one episode.
Finish him!
still not getting it. Oh. On instant Netflix right now is Street Fighter 2 5. Like, the official name of the cartoon series is Street Fighter 2, V. But I assume, since they like using Roman numerals, the V stands for 5. So it's...
Do you times them, or is it 2 to the 5th power? How does that work?
I think it's a ratio, 2 to 5. So it's Street Fighter 2 to 5.
Yeah, those are some good odds.
It's terrible. Don't watch it. I watched one episode. There's 30 episodes, I think, and I was going to watch like the first couple just to kind of get a feel for it and comment on it, but the first episode was so bad.
So the
latent homosexual tendencies between Ken and Ryu?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, you don't? Because it is blatant in this episode.
Now, is this a cartoon you're watching, or was this live action?
This is cartoons.
Okay.
Also cartoon was Street Fighter Alpha 2. Which
Alpha?
Is, yeah, it's like it's not Street Fighter 2, it's not Street Fighter 3. It was like the game between Street Fighter Alpha, which I don't know what they were doing there. But then they made a whole like TV or a movie around it, and then this was a movie, like a sequel, but a prequel. Also terrible, so I wouldn't try your luck at what they have available Street Fighter-wise on Netflix Instant, because it is a rabbit hole of shit. So,
but hey, I say give it a chance, man. A lot of some people didn't like the unsupervised. They didn't like the unsupervised pilot, but episode two brought the house down. I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny, but yeah, Joe, you say try it out, but you haven't watched these. These are really bad.
I mean, what was it, 20 minutes? I mean, you couldn't afford to watch another one?
Yeah. No, I really couldn't.
Wow.
There was a lot of between Ken and Ryu, just a lot of...
Bad writing, bad animation. What was your tiff with the whole thing?
What was my tiff with what?
What was your tiff with the show? I mean, what parts of it didn't you like?
It was just slow, and, like, there wasn't any street fighting, and, the animation wasn't fast or quick or anything. It was slow and choppy and bleh.
Because I tried to get into an animated comedy called Home Movies last year, maybe 2 years ago, and I just couldn't get past the first couple episodes because the animation was so bad.
Yeah, Home Movies got that choppy animation too.
It was just. I mean, I couldn't take it. I was like, oh, man, H. John Benjamin's in this. I'll have to check it out. And then it was, yeah, I don't know. I think they were trying to be like South Park, and it didn't work.
Mm. Oh, well. So anything that I watched other than Royal Rumble 92, just don't check it out. speaking of Street Fighter, though, let's get to the review of the week. Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li.
In life, there is beauty. There is terror. One must not overwhelm the other. To embrace both, you need the strength of a warrior, the stealth of a predator, and the wisdom of a master. Once you have found your power, you must decide what you fight for.
Alright, so The Legend of Chun-Li, a Street Fighter film, came out in 2009. It was
good year.
It was met with a tepid response. I remember I was a big fan of Street Fighter at this point, and I refused to go see it because I thought it looked so bad. I was actually going to see it, and then I saw a trailer for it, and I realized it had nothing to do, first off, with the Van Damme film. Second off, it looked like it had no loyalty to the cartoony and comic booky aspect of the Street Fighter franchise. And it also starred that albino looking guy who played Bison, who I didn't really care for. So that's why I never saw it. Well, I've seen it now, and I don't like what I've seen. Joe, your thoughts?
Albino looking dude? He looks like an albino,
the guy that played Bison. I don't know.
He's just a blonde guy.
Prove me wrong.
just Google image Neil McDonough. It's right there. Anyway,
that sounds like an albino name.
Anyway, I mean, if we're giving it stars or thumbs up, and I mean, I enjoyed my time with this movie. It was, you know, it was pretty much a glorified Kristen Crook music video, which I thought was pretty awesome. I could watch.
I guess towards the Kristen Crook, which
I could watch montages of her set to Limp Bizkit songs or Lynyrd Skynyrd songs all day.
Okay, all right.
I mean, her acting was okay, but I'm not familiar with the Street Fighter story as much as you are. Of course, I played the game when I was a kid, but I wasn't familiar with the Van Damme movie.
There's really not anything. There's really nothing to the Street Fighter storyline. I mean, it basically is street fights among people from around the world, and then you start there and then build a story from that. These guys, whoever made this movie...
Yeah, it was... Yeah, I noticed that was just peppered in at the end.
Yeah. They're like, the people who made this movie was like, hey, let's take everything that Street Fighter is about and just not do it. Let's just pick three characters and then focus on them and make a really shitty movie.
I mean, honestly, halfway through this movie, I was like, where are Ken and Ryu?
Yeah, nowhere to be seen. He's mentioned briefly at the end as if, and it was like the producers, whoever wrote it, was like just kind of, you know, they've already jerked us around for this long. They might as well just shove it in our face. They're like, there's a fighting tournament, but that's not in this movie. Suck it.
Yeah, I feel like he got done writing it on his typewriter or something, and it was like, wait, we were supposed to include something about a tournament.
Yeah, and they put it in at the very end as if they're going to make a sequel, and this is clearly not the beginning of any type of franchise at any point.
And by the very end, I mean, he means last scene, like, of a 90-minute movie, probably minute 88. Like, that's the only mention of some sort of fighting tournament and or fighters.
And the main antagonist of the entire series, from what we know, is, spoiler alert, dead. And someone that usually the entire Street Fighter universe teams up against is only dead at the hands of, spoiler alert again, Chun-Li. This pretty trivial character in the whole big scheme of things. I'm not trying to be bigoty about it, but yeah, I mean, Chun-Li isn't really the most popular character, so I don't know why there was a movie built around her. No offense to any Chun-Li fans out there, but...
I think it was because Kristen Crook, she was just so beautiful, and somebody was like, man, I'd really like to see her as Chun-Li.
I'd rather watch a Lana Lang movie than The Legend of Chun-Li, and Lana Lang does jack shit in the Superman universe, other than being the president's wife at one point.
I haven't seen any, I don't know anything about Superman, but I assume she's one of those characters that just finds herself in predicaments and... Superman just has to bail her out every time.
Pretty much. Well, she...
Like, she is completely hapless in her ways.
After Smallville came out, they started to, like, use her more along the lines of Smallville. But yeah, originally she was just kind of the Lois Lane when he was in Smallville, basically.
Okay.
So she'd always get, like, caught by aliens or something, and Superman would have to say that, I don't know. Anyway, I'd much rather see a Lana Lang movie than a Chun-Li movie. And again, like I said, she's not even... the most interesting of the female characters in Street Fighter. You have Cammy White, who was like a military expert. She wasn't featured in the film. I thought they might do like a Birds of Prey thing where they have all the girls of the Street Fighter universe kind of team up. Because there was the one character, what was it, Moonblood, whatever, Bloodgood?
Moonbloodgood.
She played a cop. Why don't you kind of give us the cop side of the story, Joe? What was going on with the Nash.
All right, so the movie starts out, and M. Bison, that's his name, he's just, or Bison, whatever you want to call him.
Right.
He owns, or he's part of a criminal underground organization called the Shadow Lu, and it was Thailand, right?
Yeah, they were in Bangkok, yeah, Thailand.
Yeah, it was in Thailand, and he basically takes control of the entire corporation and plans to... buy a bunch of... I was kind of actually lost in this whole side. I think he was buying up a bunch of land and then, you know, building higher priced property on top of it. And, you know, basically he has a bunch of other crime family leaders killed.
Yeah.
And that brings the cops into the situation.
Right.
So they're trying to get to Bison while at the same time Chun-Li... who is the main character, her family was wronged by M. Bison, so she's trying to get to M. Bison, and basically
you
just
call him Bison.
Yeah, everyone's trying to get to Bison, and he's just not having any of it for a good, like, 80 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, like you said, it's established that Shadaloo, which, you know, is the thrown-around name from the Street Fighter universe, is this big corporation, this big company that's, like, publicly traded... Endeavor, and then one of the cops brings it up. He's like, I've been tracking Shadaloo for years, and she's like, what are you talking about? Shadaloo's a myth. And I'm like, okay, what is it? Is it is it a secret organization or is it a big corporation? Like,
I think
don't
what they were trying
about.
To say is that they were a legitimate, you know, corporation that made like hand sanitizer or some product for the tax purposes.
Right.
But underneath it all, they were just running, you know, millions and trillions and gazillion dollar enterprises.
No doubt.
In the dirty slums of Thailand.
Underneath it all. Yeah, I didn't understand. It was a poorly written. This whole movie was poorly written, but just the main plot points. Why do you have your main plot points poorly written? All you need, fighting tournament. That's all you need.
It was a little busy, I'll give you that, and there wasn't enough fighting. I mean,
yeah,
I want to say in the first half hour there was maybe one scene that was where people were actually squaring off in any capacity, and even that was, I don't know why directors are kind of compelled to do this now, but they'll speed things up and slow things down in the same scene, and it just looks really cheesy.
Yeah, it's super gay. Yeah, even in the poster itself, there's a silhouette of Vega getting punched by some dude, and the only person Vega fights in the movie is Chun-Li. So already false advertisement. There's one scene where Vega like slaughters a bunch of people, but there's no.
We call that the chaperone problem.
There are so many things in the poster that don't happen in the movie.
Why was there a bullet hole in the school bus?
They're all in a group together looking at me. Never happens in the movie. Never happens. Yeah, the other thing. Okay, let's talk about... We talked about kind of the cop storyline. We'll talk about Nash in a second. His real investment in the film. Chun-Li's...
Played by Chris Klein, by the way.
Chris Klein, yeah. Awful.
Pretty famous.
Yeah, pretty famously shitty. So Chun-Li's character, she's a... well-schooled pianist. Her father raised her on karate and musical instruments, what have you. They're really rich, as it usually goes. And of course, when you're really rich, for some reason you get involved with like the mob. So her father dies.
Yep, right.
Her father gets kidnapped for like, I don't know, 40 years, 20 years, I don't know how long. And the mother just kind of gets sick at the beginning and dies. And so there's a scene where Chun-Li is like in front of the grave of her mom, which has a picture ready for her dad, so you're already writing the fate of the dad at the beginning of the film. So she's standing in front of the grave, and she's like, I will find your killer mom, even though she died of natural causes. And, and then there's the scene where she gets, like, a magic scroll, which isn't magic, it's just old. Something you would...
Well, it glowed. It had, like, litter on it or something.
Yeah, it was from, like, the Epcot China gift shop. And she's like, wow, who brought this? It's really old. And there's only one person in all of Asia that speaks, like, I don't know, Chinese. I don't know what language it was. So she takes it to a specific shop. And there's so many plot points that are just never addressed. Like, the whole, like, web club that everyone's in. Like, you maybe see three members. And they hint that it's like this super organization that works under the radar, and you only
they were clearly against Shadaloo. I think they addressed that towards the end. And
yeah, but there wasn't like a team up. It wasn't like the
they're volunteers, man. They're like Relay for Life. You just you know, there.
It was like the janitor and then the guy who died in the subway. Like those are their best guys. A guy who can get beat up by by ruffians and a guy who sweeps the streets. So as far as an underground organization. They're failing.
Well, that's that. Now they, you know, Chun-Li wants to be the leader. You know, she's a
yes.
She's
why
a.
She have to become hobo Chun-Li. I didn't get that part.
Because she was homeless. She didn't have anywhere to live for a while.
Well, she purposely chose homelessness over sitting in her mansion.
No, maybe. she was living in America, and then she went to Bangkok.
No, her house was in Hong Kong.
Okay, whatever. She went to the place where she was, Bangkok. She didn't have a house.
Is that Chinese or Japanese? I'm from Laos.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you hit it on the head, man. There was just a little too much going on, and you know the spider. I have a note written here. Spider hand recap from a minute ago. I don't know if you remember that specific scene, but.
She
saw it
back 5 seconds ago.
The two flashbacks.
Yeah, that guy that pushed me here.
It was like 30 seconds ago and 5 minutes ago. that was really good.
oh yeah, the spider web tattoo. And he's like still there, like in the next scene when she comes back from the flashback.
Yeah. One of my favorite scenes too was at the beginning, actually when Bison took control of the Shadaloo Empire.
Right.
They have a scene where all the other investors were walking out, and then Vega comes up from behind him,
mm-hmm.
and he kind of like goes back to his dinner, and all you hear are like the shrieking cries of the people that getting absolutely mauled by Vega. And I thought that, you know, I thought that was a nice touch of how, you know, you leave it up to the viewer to guess what happened to him, but it probably wasn't pretty.
I mean, it would work in a drama, but when you're signing up for Street Fighter, where street fights are promised, I mean, you gotta show that stuff. There could have been like a 6-minute fight scene where Vega took down 7 guys.
No, those were like old men, though. I mean, Vega was pretty much half monster.
But in the Street Fighter universe, everyone knows martial arts. That's the beauty of Street Fighter. It's like anyone.
No, that's just racist.
No, it's not racist. When every character, there's not like a player.
No, they're not in the Street Fighter. Okay, I don't think in that scene they're in the Street Fighter realm-iverse.
Like, there's not a playable character who's crippled and, like, leaning on a cane who can't do anything. Like, every playable character...
It's assumed when you're dealing with investors, like, old Asian 70-year-old men or whatever, that they're not going to be able to defend themselves, especially when they're being sneak attacked.
Right. Well, that's a real-life movie. That's dealing with real-life events. But when you take a fighting-based...
Hold on a second.
Okay. Alright, so where were we? What did I ask you? I can't remember.
We were talking about that movie with the Asian girl.
Oh, yeah. Legend of Chun-Li. So, you were talking about your notes. Why don't you bring up some of your notes? Let's just go through, because I have a whole page of notes. So let's start with you and see what kind of funny comments you thought of during the course of this movie, this awful, awful film that no one should watch.
We got Chun-Li and Periwinkle Blue rocked that outfit pretty hard.
Yeah,
equals ratings.
Yeah, did you see her do her patented move of the split spin kick?
Yeah, man, that was pretty sweet.
She does that in the game.
And then she even had her hair in a bun on either side. That's trademark. That is vintage Chun-Li.
That is Shoryuken.
Oh, yeah, Bison's three-dimensional topographical city diagram,
mm-hmm.
WTF.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know why that was necessary.
Just a waste of money, telling you.
There was a blind training regimen she was doing with Gen.
Yeah.
That was really laid back, and then it got really out of control quickly. Like, he was, I don't know, throwing pebbles at her, and then he... almost forced her head into a circular saw and then chopped her head off with a sword.
And then was just like, let's get some lunch.
Yeah, pretty much. That was pretty over-the-top dramatic.
Yeah, his name was Gen, not to be confused with Ken, another character that they could have used in this movie but did not choose.
I answered my own question in my notes. Who was Bison ruthlessly beating up in the gym? Cantina, his secretary, for... I don't know, getting the shit kicked out of her by
right.
Chun-Li in the scene before that, so she divulges information, and for her troubles, she gets strung up like a punching bag and absolutely brutalized by Bison.
Yeah. Do you think that led to her death, or do you think she was killed first and then he just punched her a lot, or do you think he was punching her until she died?
Oh, I don't think she was dead. I'm sure she just walked off.
I'm pretty sure she was dead. There's no way. I mean,
it was rocky on the slab of meat.
Yeah, it was like there was no coming back from that, I don't think.
It's just going like she didn't do the dishes properly or something, man. Whack.
Although human punching bag, it really works the triceps. Little known fact.
Yeah, you get that. You get that. Those tendons and the bones. Yeah. You know, strike that. It's great. Great workout, Tyler.
You get resistance that just isn't provided by normal punching bags.
What was explosion? There was a really, really bad explosion special effect. Don't remember what scene that was, but it looked like it could have been done on your computer with some simple Photoshop and editor. Pretty bad.
Yeah, pretty awful.
Yeah, there it is again. Where the F are Ken and Ryu?
Mm-hmm. At one point, 27 minutes in, where we hadn't seen a street fight yet, I was pretty sure I wasn't going to see the cast of characters in the Van Damme version.
Oh, later, there was a scene where Chun-Li was captured, and she was about to be murdered, and she was about to be strung up, kind of like that scene in Taken, where Liam Neeson is strung up in that place of that whorehouse, and I want to say Chun-Li escaped in 5 seconds.
Yeah, she escaped fairly quickly. Was that right after?
These were some of the worst bad guys I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Bison did that whole thing where he just like, oh, I'm gonna walk out of the room now. I hope you guys can take care of this.
I'm gonna tell her the plan and then leave. Okay.
But they don't.
Make sure she dies.
Oh yeah, and then towards the end, the mystery of what was the White Rose shipment that wasn't really a mystery.
they
kept trying to like they once they mentioned it, I don't think anybody in the movie was thinking, "Huh, what's in the White Rose?" Or what is the White Rose?
I really didn't care at this point.
Only Chris Klein was like, "We gotta have more clues.
It might be drugs."
I basically skipped over everything I wrote about Chris Klein because that guy in itself is something that needs to be discussed.
Okay, well, let me go through my notes and then we'll talk about Chris Klein. How do I become one with the people of Bangkok? Well, Chun-Li goes hobo. I protect elephants. That's just my thought.
Okay.
27 minutes in, where's the street fighting? I ask myself. Well, a minute later, I see my first street fight. Emotional buildup, fairly unnecessary in this kind of film. All you have to do is set the stage and then fight. That's all I want. I don't need deaths of relatives building up any character development or anything like that. Van Damme is spinning in his grave, although he's not dead. At one point, Gen asks Chun-Li, why are you hurting, or what's hurting you? And I respond, this movie's hurting me, that's why I'm angry. Nash, as we'll talk about in a second, Chris Klein is the Street Fighter Universe's Chuck Bass.
I don't get that one.
Chuck Bass, okay. Where's Bison's military ranking? Where are the bookend bar fight sequences, a la The Quest? Kiss in the Car, Chris Klein. Okay, we'll talk about that. Asian Daft Punk. Did you notice the Asian Daft Punk group in the club? Like just two Asian people spinning records.
The club Insomnia, I think we first met Cantana and Chun-Li had their awesome bathroom brawl.
Yeah. Oh, and the dance showdown, where if you want to win over a lesbian, all you have to do is work the shoulder blades like a peacock. You got to like rotate your shoulder blades, and the lesbians will swarm towards you.
Yeah, and I had no idea all bathroom clubs were made of glass. I think every fixture, wall, light, and door in that bathroom was being able to be shattered.
Yeah, and then my last note, when the police department has to leave because they got orders from higher up, and Chris Klein says, orders from who? And I wanted to respond, the network, but that's a really inside joke, so... Who ordered this? The network came down and said...
Oh, was that a TNA reference?
Yeah, pretty much. But no one's going to get that. So let's talk about Charlie Nash, played by Chris Klein. He's the cop working against Shadaloo. He knows Shadaloo exists. Everyone else thinks it's a myth. He's the guy that's dropping cliches. Like, I've been after this guy for months. Every time I get a hold of him, he disappears. I've been traveling, trying to find him. Now I finally, you know, it's just every cop cliche you can think of, he actually says. I think that might be a world record as far as cop cliches.
Yeah, basically, if you want to get the gist of Charlie Nash's character, Chris Klein, in this movie, go to YouTube and type in Chris Klein, I'm on the case.
Okay, I'll embed that as part of the post. So
his acting is... I'm glad other people finally agreed with me when I checked the message boards and whatnot, but his acting was just... I don't even know how to phrase it. It was exceptionally poor.
It was like intentionally poor. It was like he was paid to not show up for rehearsal and just read off cards, read off different parts of the set. I don't know.
who's the Hollywood director that recently had that quote saying that rehearsal was for fags?
It was Brett Ratner, I believe.
Okay, I thought that was school. Maybe he went to the Brett Ratner School of Acting or something.
The School of Ratner, yeah. That's on Hollywood and Vine too. But it wasn't like he was trying to be an actor and failed. It wasn't intentionally funny bad. It was he went in. He was like, I am going to make these guys regret hiring me. Bad.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty entertaining. He was. I felt like he was so distanced. Like for one, he's white. Like these.
Sure.
He's the only white guy out there. He's sticking out like a sore thumb, even though he's on surveillance.
Clearly, everyone else knows martial arts except him.
Even his partner Maya was some sort of Asian descent, and yeah, he just he had a whale of a time just trying to figure out. I feel like he was learning how to be a cop and an actor at the same time during this process.
If there was one entertaining aspect of this movie, 0.3% of that entertaining aspect was Chuck Bass, or excuse me, Charlie Nash.
And the one-liners, the zingers, by him, by Kristen Crook. When she took Vega's mask off or fell off, she said something like...
Played by Taboo. Oh,
yes, no wonder you keep that mask on. I would too with that kind of face.
Boo! It was like...
Yeah, you're just like, zing!
At the end...
He wasn't scarred or anything. Yeah. He was just another Asian guy.
He's just like, oh, man, my name's Taboo. Hi.
Actually, now, if you guys have seen the Black Eyed Peas, he's the Black Eyed Pea that isn't black... Or doesn't talk.
And not Fergie.
And he's not Fergie, and he's not Will.i.am. He's the one that's not famous.
Although he's better looking than Fergie. It's like at the end of each match in the Street Fighter game, like whoever wins gets to say the one liner, like, why don't you come back with some strength next time? Like,
yeah.
Whole movie. Like, I guess the only times they felt they were being loyal to the game was in these really, really unnecessary aspects.
Yeah, I don't know. Overall, though, we're kind of picking it apart. Though I thought it was.
Oh, I want to tear into this thing.
I thought it was somewhat enjoyable, but and I was only really let down that there were no real other playable characters that I could put a face or a character to from the Street Fighter II game. I mean, really, the only character was Chun-Li, and then everyone else was a bad guy who couldn't play with. You know.
Sure. Well, not only that, that not only pissed me off, but it wouldn't piss me off as much had they not referenced that, oh, this movie could have been better at the end.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, by the way, we could have made this movie about a street fighting tournament with Ryu and Ken, but instead we went the Chun-Li route because, you know, why the fuck not?
I mean, I was just amazed that I was like, man, I remember Blanca, and then there was, Dhalsim.
Yep.
And the sumo wrestler, and that's exclusively. I mean, those three guys are exclusively who I played with. So, right. And I was just kind of disappointed that none of them were in the movie, but kind of relieved that I found out that there was a Van Damme movie where they were in it. So,
oh yeah, and the Van Damme movie is such a that's the pivotal. That's the Street Fighter movie, I would say. So if you haven't seen that, Joe and listeners, forget The Legend of Chun-Li. Go watch the Van Damme version. It's super. Not only is it a Van Damme movie, which means it's great to begin with, but it's also a Street Fighter movie, which makes it even better. So
yeah, or watch that one first, definitely. And then if you're still feeling really Street Fighter-y, you know, watch this one too, and you know, kind of laugh along with how bad it's executed.
Poorly. I wouldn't go that far. No, definitely not. Just the Van Damme one. Just the Van Damme one.
Okay, let's see where...
Kylie Minogue as Cammy White.
Yeah, I saw that. Was she actually... I mean, did she have a decent role in that movie?
Yeah, she was pretty pivotal. She was Guile's right-hand woman.
I didn't even know Kylie Minogue was an actress.
Yeah, I didn't know that either until I saw Street Fighter.
Whenever I Can't Get You Out of My Heart came out, dude, that chick was the bomb.
That was a pretty sweet song. I like that.
I want to say we were both in middle school. That's
you want to close with that? Because that kind of has a really close or really far off connection to everything.
Yeah, yeah. Why not? I mean, we could have closed with a Smallville theme, or maybe Chris Klein, or you know, maybe Kristen Crook singing "Scotty Doesn't Know" from Hero Trip, but
Scotty doesn't know.
Yeah, that was her. That was her. That was the girlfriend.
I know. Yeah. I love Eurotrip. I think that's a great film.
It should.
So yeah, based on our discussion, Joe, you would probably recommend this, and I, Tyler, will not. I feel bad that, you know,
I would recommend it for people who like action movies.
But I wouldn't even say that, because there wasn't really any action. But
it's a stupid movie. You have to. It's kind of like what we were talking about Hard Target last week. You kind of have to shut your brain off and realize all this crap is going to happen, and you're just along for the ride.
All right.
I mean, there is some there are some ridiculous training montages and subtitles that you have to wade through, but you know, in the end, the ending was pretty solid too. How everything kind of came together, and then they brought it back to, well, they didn't bring it back, but they tied in the street fighting tournament at the end.
I was so angry at that point. Why put that in front of me? Why reference a fighting tournament if you know? I'm sure they knew that they weren't getting this.
I really thought the way Bison and Balrog died were pretty entertaining.
Balrog. Oh yeah,
how do you say it?
Michael Clark Duncan, man, he's the man.
Huh? Not Balrog.
All right, it's Balrog. we've just agreed. The council has agreed. We're changing Balrog to Balrog. It makes sense, because I wouldn't even use this movie as my Balrog. I'm gonna give it. I wouldn't even put it up that high. But whatever.
Man, that's pretty harsh.
That's harsh. I know. But let's close the floor for discussions. Street Fighter: Legend of Chun-Li. Check it out at your own risk, I guess.
A little note though, Tyler. You know what? What other movies this guy has directed?
What, Baltalowicz or whatever his name? Wait, is
Andres Bartakiewicz?
Bartkowiak. No, I really don't care. But you can list them off if you want.
He's directed the Doom, another video game movie, the one with The Rock.
With The Rock? Do you smell what the Doom is cooking?
And then three of my personal favorites, this goes way back, Cradle to the Grave, Exit Wounds, and Romeo Must Die.
Wow, nice.
Those are some... So maybe that's why I like this movie a little more than other people. I don't agree with all facets of the fighting and stuff, but the story had a decent ending, and that was what I thought brought it together.
Alright. So yeah, Street Fighter, Legend of Chun-Li.
So good job, Polish guy.
Yeah. Let's actually move on to next week. Let's talk about next week. And you know what, Joe? I didn't like where your new computer took us, so I'm gonna go back to the old Apple II, regardless of its reliability in the eyes of some of our listeners, or in the ears of some of our listeners. Let's see what the Apple II has to offer up for next week. And for the return of Ben Pearson. Next week, Joe, can you even guess what we have for next week? The Steven Spielberg directed, John Williams composed, Robin Williams starring film about a...
One-hour photo.
About a pretty useful utensil or tool. That can be placed onto one individual's left hand, because that individual may have lost that left hand to a reptile reptilian monster, usually called a crocodile. The movie's Hook, by the way. We're going to be watching Hook for next week. We're going to be having a guest star on there, one of Ben's Sundance friends. So tune in for that. Joe, I'm sorry, we're not going to ask you back for next week. You're probably bored at this point. And I don't think you're a huge fan of Hook either, are you?
I watched Hook a lot as a child. I haven't seen it recently, but...
All right, well...
You know, too much Michael Jackson in that story. You know?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you might need an email to explain all that.
Okay.
Speaking of emails,
you can, a lot of those kids.
You can send us an email always. Always send us an email at notjustnewmovies@gmail.com. If I haven't gotten to yours, that's because I'm lazy and Ben usually likes reading the emails. So
because you got so many of them.
Yeah, we've got so many. We have to sit through them all, and Ben likes reading the emails, so he feels good about himself when he reads the emails. So I let Ben read the emails.
He puts in both of his monocles and just.
He's a double monocle man. So he'll read some emails next week. We have a couple. And you can always leave us a voicemail at 904-469-NJNM or 6566. You can always subscribe to us free in iTunes. You can leave us a review there. That would be great. We love the reviews we have. We would love some more, and we always appreciate your support. You can also show your support and the fact that you like us, to like the way we talk about movies or not talk about movies, whatever.
I don't like the way we talk about movies.
You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NJNM Podcast.
They're calling us the Chuck of Podcasts.
Yeah, but to finish up the night, let's close with the character name game. Now, Joe, you've had a while to think about it. What movie was Finis Valorum in? And you're going to hate me once I tell you who it is, but... Let's see.
No, I'm pretty sure it is Boondock Saints 2 All Saints Day.
not the Finis Valorum I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Finis Valorum.
It sounded like an Irish type name, and that's the only thing we could think of.
It might be Irish if Ireland was in outer space. If there are Irish descendants in the science fiction film that I'm referring to. Ghost of Mars, no, I don't. Does that have Patrick Swayze in it?
Battlestar Universe Galactica SGU.
I think that might be a couple TV shows mixed together, not a movie. But I'm still going to accept it, but also tell you you're wrong.
That movie with Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, you're getting closer. You're naming science fiction movies. It's not Galaxy Quest, but the movie that I'm referencing that was released this week was The Gray. The Gray.
I thought that came out like 3 weeks ago.
You know, people have just been talking about it for a while. I think it was finally released this week. I might be wrong, but I don't know. I'm not in.
Taken.
No, it wasn't Taken. Although you're on the right track. It stars that particular actor.
Firefly.
Okay, you're on the right track again. Science fiction movies, but Liam Neeson wasn't in that.
Okay, wait. Firefly was a show, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're right. Serenity was the movie. Sorry, I don't really give a shit about that stuff.
Liam Neeson was in a sci-fi outer space movie.
He was in a pretty big one, like
Apollo 13. Was he a cosmonaut?
No, Liam Neeson was in this movie, and there hadn't been another film in the series since 1983. So about 16 years had gone by before they made another one of these.
Alien.
No.
Predator.
Oh, no.
Alien vs. Predators.
No. what if I told you that possibly a small puppet voiced by Frank Oz appeared in this movie? Along with Liam Neeson and Ewan McGregor.
A small puppet?
And Jake Lloyd. And Darth Maul. And Natalie Portman.
Muppets in Outer Space.
You're really close to the year, dude. And Jabba the Hutt. And pod racing. And lightsabers and space and
Star Wars 6 A New Hope.
I'm going to accept it. Star Wars, that's correct. Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, which is kind of cool because it's actually coming back to theaters in February. But, yeah, Leslie, I always say Leslie Nielsen, but it's Liam Neeson.
I wish it was Leslie Nielsen.
Leslie Nielsen as Qui-Gon Jinn, awesome.
I knew what you were talking about when you said Darth Maul, but seriously, okay. Up until then, I really had no idea what
I figured. Yeah, you're a big Darth Maul fan. So Liam Neeson played Qui-Gon Jinn in Episode 1. Finnis Velorum was actually played by General Zod. I can't remember his name. The guy who played General Zod, Chancellor Velorum.
I don't know why Episode 1 gets so much shit, man.
I love that movie back then. I still love
Jar Jar Binks was awesome.
I can't side with that, but when I saw the double lightsaber of Darth Maul and that fight scene at the end of Episode 1, I was crooking in my pants.
Yeah, Darth Maul and Jar Jar Binks, man. Those were my two guys, man.
Yeah, there was a fight scene between Jar Jar and Darth Maul that was cut. It was left on the cutting room floor, but it was bordering epic.
Wait, are you serious?
Because Jar Jar doesn't have a lightsaber, so like Darth Maul like was slashing at him, but Jar Jar kept dodging.
He was retarded.
It didn't help that Darth Maul was in the water too. It was.
Was he not retarded? Was that why people didn't like him?
By Gungan standards, yes. To everyone else, extremely retarded. all right. So Episode 1. If I am going to go see that in theaters in 3D, I don't care. I said I wasn't going to, but I'm going to because I love Episode 1.
Oh, but I should remind the listeners that one of the reasons I do like Episode 1 was because I don't think I've never really seen the other Star Wars movies. I think I've only seen. Oh man. Episode 1 and 2, maybe?
Ugh, 2's not my favorite at all. I kind of like 3, but I'm gonna side with my, how old was I, 14 years old. I'm going to side with my 14-year-old self and assume that episode.
Yeah,
one.
I remember we were freshmen in high school, and we watched that illegally on the computer 2 days before it came out in theaters, episode 2.
You were the real fanboys.
And I was just it was the other people involved, but with that scene where Yoda was battling somebody in a cave, like lightsaber battling, like that was just the geek out moment. So I didn't really get it. I guess it looked okay, but you know, some people were like, "Oh my God, it's Yoda! He's fighting!"
Yeah, it was kind of over the top, but whatever, it had to happen.
And really, you'll impress me once Jar Jar or Baby Anakin fights. I mean, come on.
Baby Anakin, man, that is a scar that's never going to heal. Joe, I know you offer up some great ideas here on the podcast. I mean, you have the death of blogging. You have a lot of good thoughts on wrestling. You're
slowly coming
much,
back, though, Tyler. I think
you pretty much predicted the outcome of last night's Royal Rumble. And where can people find you on the internet to get these insights before they happen?
Currently... CamelClutchBlog.com, where I write about wrestling. I still have my site, ThePlayingFieldBlog.com, but I haven't updated it in about a month. So I'm kind of. Last year, I noticed too. I took like a winter hiatus, but I'll be back on there in the next few weeks. So
nice.
Check there for. That's where I talk about different TV shows and sports and.
Do you still use the Dest Again handle on Twitter? Is that still a thing?
And Diane Peace. No, I kind of jokingly use Twitter. I occasionally go on there to see what people are talking about, but I'm not a big Twitter guy. No.
Yeah, that's true. So any place else you wanna? Anything else you wanna plug?
Oh man, this is Dime 2012 season's coming up too, so I'll be definitely writing about that.
Is it gonna be a Dime Olympic team or something?
Oh, maybe. Kristen Crook she's a front runner now. She's in my peripherals.
I see her in that ski shooting event.
Yeah,
skiing and shooting at the same time.
I believe that's called. It's got some ridiculous
like
name.
Is it called like landscaping or something?
It has a name that doesn't indicate that it's either skiing or
right
or shooting.
It's like collusory. you can find me on the Twitter handle. NJNM podcast. That's usually what I'm talking about. I don't write much anymore. I'm really not into it. I might
dying out,
back.
Bro. It's dying out.
I might come back every once in a while for a film review, but those are few and far between because I get zero comments every single time, and I assume that means no one's reading them. So it's your fault, audience. I'm sorry. It's just your fault. Ben, like we talked to him earlier, you can find his stuff, especially Sundance coverage, on Geek Tyrant, but you can also find all of his reviews for the 27 Good God movies.
He got Sundance all over himself.
Yeah, he the sun really danced on his nuts. you can see all those film reviews up on notjustnewmovies.com. You can talk to Ben personally at twitter.com/BenPierce. He writes for Filmonic.com. He's currently starting at the film stage.
Well, you could talk to him personally in Los Angeles. That's where he lives.
Yeah, Hollywood and Vine, next to the School of Ratner.
Capitol Records building or whatever.
They might be making one this week, the Geek Tyrant Weekly Podcast at GeekTyrant.com. We love those guys. Bankman, Reyes, Tiberius are free. Mazer. I can't remember everyone's name. I can't remember their code names. But yeah, we dig those guys. So
I think one of their names is Joey Parr for the chorus. That's what they call him.
Yeah. So bring back the weekly podcast. People need that kind of stuff. They can't only deal with us because that's a sad state of affairs if it's only us. Music for our show is provided by somebody. I'll pick some music later. But we're gonna close with that Kylie Minogue song, I think, Joe. What was the name of that again?
I can't get you out of my head.
Yeah, that's the one.
If you want to hear it sung better, listen to Kylie.
Listen right now. And Joe, thanks for coming on to the show 2 weeks in a row. I appreciate
I want to thank you, and I want to thank Ben for letting us tear up the place while he was gone.
Yeah, this place is in shambles. He is not going to like the rewiring he's going to have to do.
There are not enough hobos in here for my liking.
I just don't understand how the waterfowl got in here. I mean, clearly shut the door last night, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. Highlight.
You live right next to that Antelope Valley Bass Pro Shop.
Yeah, I don't know why Ben invested in a recording studio near a Bass Pro Shop. But, I don't know. It smells great for some reason. You would think it wouldn't smell great, but it does.
Right.
Thanks again, Joe, for joining us, and thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week with Hook, and bye.
Finish him!